Deal With It podcast.
Woo!
I'm one of your hosts, Andy Erickson.
And I'm your other host, Jolene Lunzer.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for this extra special bonus episode.
Mm-hmm. It's a bonus episode. It's our first bonus episode of the Deal With It podcast, right?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yes. And we're going to have some fun here today reading some news stories. We're going to get into it. It's going to be a little different, interesting. And our hope is that if you like this bonus episode, we are going to offer them as a perk on our Patreon page. So this is a little freebie for you guys.
Ooh, I love freebies.
Soak it all up and let us know what you think, too. But yeah, for those of you guys who haven't listened before, this is a podcast where we talk about mental and physical health conditions. Mm-hmm. I have Marfan syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder. I deal with Marfan syndrome, scoliosis, eye problems, back pain. I'm kind of like the body of the podcast.
Yes, and I deal with mental illness and addiction, so I consider myself the brain of the podcast. And if at all during this special episode you hear my cat Tilly, because Andy and I record in my West Hollywood apartment, that's just a bonus of the bonus episode.
Yeah, bonus meows.
Because she has mental illness too and codependency issues, and she loves being on my lap and near me at all times.
Yes.
And so that's what we're dealing with today.
Yeah, and I love you're wrapped up like it's fall.
Yep, I covered Tilly in a blanket. Hopefully that'll muffle her meows.
Yes, she likes it. She's super cute. All right, so here's what I think we're going to do. I have been seeing really interesting news articles online that deal with either physical or mental health conditions, and they're super, super interesting. So I picked a few, and I'm going to read them, and me and Jolene are going to talk about them. So Jolene hasn't read these articles.
I don't know what they are.
I've read a few.
I don't read.
Jolene doesn't read, mm-mm. So I just read to her. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to kind of see what we think about these new news stories.
New news. It's the new news. But no, that you should have a segment called The New News with Andy Erickson.
New news. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, because here's one article that I thought was really interesting and had to do with my words are all over the place. It's like I can't click on something and talk at the same time.
That's okay. I mean, a lot of people feel that way. You know, it's the pain of having to multitask and then be present in the moment, and there's all these things around you, and that's not easy, Andy.
I know. Okay, spy like two more minutes of time. Tell me a story about your cat.
Well, Tilly is with us today, and she is my cat. And I told Andy this story, but I did adopt her. And I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before. I feel like I have. So that would be – well, I got Tilly after the death of another cat. So just to bring the mood up, I had this cat, and I was in a really bad relationship, and her name was Gracie. And I adopted her, and I loved her so much, and she was there for me. And then she passed away, and I felt this ultimate void because I got rid of the boyfriend and kept the cat, and it was great. And then I felt this void because I lost her very suddenly. And then Tilly came into my life, and I went and I saw her. And I remember they have, you know, when you go adopt cats, they'll put their picture up on the website first. And so I saw her little face pressed against the glass.
Aww.
And she has these three dots on her nose, look like a heart. And I just thought, I'm going to get her. She looked so sad and depressed. I was like, that's how I feel.
I love it.
And so, yeah, we've been depressed together ever since.
I love you guys so much. I just see your face like pressed up against the window as I walk by. You're like, yeah. I'm stuck inside because I have a day job.
Yeah. We're both stuck. Now we're both stuck in this box, my apartment, all day.
Okay, so I found the news article.
Okay.
And it is called Magic Mushrooms Can, Quote, Reset a Depressed Brain.
What?
Yeah. Some study claims that doing magic mushrooms can reset your brain. A hallucinogen found in magic mushrooms can reset the brains of people with untreatable depression, raising hopes of a future treatment. Scans suggest. So keep that
suggestion. Going. Don't run out and get your magic mushrooms just yet.
There's been a few scans. Okay. So the email study gave 19 patients a single dose of the psychedelic ingredient psilocybin. Half of patients ceased to be depressed and experienced changes in their brain activity that lasted about 5 weeks.
That, okay, so this is really interesting because coming from someone with addiction issues, it's like now I have to become a drug addict to be happy. Like, I think that's the point with addiction is like you were chasing that high.
Yes.
And so what happens when I come down from the shrooms? I'm depressed again?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do I have to constantly be on shrooms and seeing weird shit?
Yeah, maybe you should have to constantly be on
I think people have known for a long time that shrooms is a way to, you know, open your mind. I remember watching the Bill Hicks documentary, the comedian Bill Hicks, and they went out into the desert and did shrooms and it just opened your mind to life and the world, and you know, you just gotta like, you gotta talk like that when you say, but I don't know. I mean, I've never done. Have you done shrooms before?
I think I have. Like,
what did it fall in your? You're like, I think I might have accidentally popped one.
I think I was eating a salad and it had some mushrooms on it that made me feel weird. No, I never. No, just kind of like weed that made me. I thought that it had something similar to mushrooms.
Maybe like you thought the weed had the effect similar to mushrooms?
Yes. I think that's I think there was some strain that was supposed to like make you feel like you were on mushrooms. And I just remember feeling sick.
And just open your mind up to the world on shrooms. I know a lot of people that do shrooms. I do have a shroom story. I was on a softball team, on a co-ed softball team in my early 20s. And it was like a beer league where basically you just go. It was in like North St. Paul, Minnesota, and you got racks of beer and you're like, let's play ball. And everyone just like drank and chain smoked. And so we were just there for the beer, but softball was played occasionally. And so my team, they hung out, you know, co-ed, some of them started dating and they decided we're all going to do shrooms for a bonding. But the only person who couldn't do shrooms was Jolene. They decided that they didn't tell me. This has been the story of my life. People have done drugs around me and never told me. Because apparently no one ever wants to do drugs with me, which, all right, I understand. You know, I got some issues. But they all were like, no, we don't think you'd be good with that. Yeah, you know, I don't think you'd be able to do it. So I think they all went, and then I didn't do shrooms. They did their bonding mushroom activity.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't get to, which.
No, I hear about that, people bonding.
Yeah. Well, looking back, I don't think I would be good on mushrooms.
Nope.
I already see enough messed up stuff. My mind's already going all over the place.
Well,
I don't
need.
And
it makes you, it gives you anxiety. So
yeah.
Some of it can, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. As much as me and Andy know about mushrooms, which is not a ton.
No, it makes you turn into a giant, I think, on Mario. It makes you large.
That happened to me with ecstasy, too. Molly, have you ever done that? Well, I would have liked to, but no one ever gave me any. Two of my close friends, we would go out to the bars in Minneapolis in my mid-20s, and I remember they were just like, oh, like, man, I don't want to say their names, I don't want to out them, but they was like, man, they're having fun. They were like, you know, dancing, kind of rubbing on each other, and I'm like, yeah. And then they would occasionally touch me, and I'm like, well, that's weird. But
yeah.
And I find out years later, they were doing ecstasy, doing Molly.
I remember people would blame things like, oh, they're drunk. But then once you've been around people who've been on ecstasy, you can kind of tell. There's a difference between ecstasy, like cocaine, mushrooms, weed. It's all different. And people do react very differently.
Yeah. They were very touchy-feely. They had a great time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hello. They told me later. I go, I just thought you guys like wanted to like touch me and stuff. And we're hugging. They're like, we didn't think you'd want any.
Oh, man.
Well, you got to ask. It's the polite thing to do. If you have some ecstasy, offer to your even. It was before I was sober. I mean, I might have. Yeah. No, I was never really a big.
No, it wouldn't be good now. I think it's one of those drugs where people like really like it.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to do it, but you know, it's just not fun. We don't get the invitation. It's like I don't want to go to everyone's party because my social anxiety is like, but I don't want to be the only one not invited.
Well, yeah. Well, like I've had people. I felt weird around people who are doing drugs, and like, you could tell they're like, "Well, she's not going to say yes." I was like, "Well, yeah, because I have a heart condition." And
hello, it could kill me.
Yeah, it could kill me. Man, I hear it's really fun.
You're like, I'm doing some serious Coumadin, you guys.
The next line in the study says, "However, the team at Imperial College London says people should not self-medicate," which is like kind of no shit. Like, you see a study that says like, you know, doing mushrooms can cure you.
If it says it can, people might try.
True, like, people might.
Yes, if I'm depressed and they're like, hey, you want to do some shrooms?
Yeah.
And it will help. I might try it.
And you know what? Maybe people are. Maybe that's what we need to do a follow-up is like, hey, has anyone tried this?
We should. People who have done psychedelic drugs to help with mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe it does. Maybe people aren't talking about it because there's so much stigma around drugs, which
I bet you
are
it does help a lot of people. But it would, again, just like any drug, just like drugs they sell over the counter, because really, who decided, well, we know, big drunk companies that make money, that it's okay to give people Klonopin, but not mushrooms.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because you think of the drugs that are prescribed are horrible, too. Like, they have really bad side effects. Yes. But you just need to be in contact with your doctor. So I think maybe we'll come to a point where mushrooms will be like weed.
Yeah.
Where it'll just be prescribed and you have to work with your doctor.
Because it's just a plant, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to sound so ignorant, but I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, just a plant. There has been a series of small studies suggesting psilocybin could have a role in depression by acting as a lubricant for the mind.
Oh, I was going to be like, what?
I know.
Lubricant.
Allows people to escape a cycle of depressive symptoms. So maybe there is some magic.
But long term?
And this was also for people who were severely, people with untreatable depression. It was working for them. So maybe this is for
people. Wonder
if
they have to. Do you just do it once in your cure? Okay, do you have to keep doing it?
The team at Imperial performed MRI brain scans before treatment with psilocybin. And then the day after, when the patients were sober again, the study published in the Journal Scientific Reports showed psilocybin affected two key areas of the brain, the amygdala, which is heavily involved in how we process emotions, such as fear and anxiety,
became less active. My amygdala's messed up,
Said the amygdala became less active.
Oh.
The greater the reduction, the greater the improvement in reported symptoms. And the other part of the brain that were affected is the default mode network, a collaboration of different brain regions, became more stable after taking psilocybin.
Really?
So interesting. That's cool that they were actually able to go in and see the brains and see how it was kind of working.
That's fascinating.
I'm trying to think how long the study lasted or how did they actually do it. But I think it was said the effects lasted, it was only 19 patients too. This is a really small sample size.
It was all already active mushroom users.
Yes. And it lasted 5 weeks though. But there's really no follow-up because this is just one small study. So it says further studies need to be done.
Because no one's going to fund that, Andy, because they can't make money off of it. They're like, mushrooms. Yeah. Oh,
and it also had no control group of healthy people, which is very important. You want to have a control group to compare.
So where is the study from?
This is awful.
This is a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, basically. It was BBC News.
Oh, well, they're pretty legit, right?
But still, the study does go on to say that, it was a very small study. So it might just be the beginning of something. And I'm sure there's also studies that are like people take ecstasy. And I think they're even making it legal for dealing with like family couples counseling.
Taking ecstasy?
That's what they used to do. That's what they used to do. Because you become more emotionally and empathetic and understanding. Yeah. And
but
you
then
touch
I want
people's heads with your hands.
Yeah, and you
your
like
face.
Put. I remember I had an ex-boyfriend who did ecstasy, and they would go to parties, and they would put Vicks VapoRub over their face and sit in front of a fan for hours.
Ew.
I swear to God, it was very strange. I mean, I like myself some Vicks VapoRub, but have you ever got that shit in your eye? It's horrible. They could blind you. It's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Be careful out there. It's very dangerous.
So bizarre.
Yeah, I can't believe that Chell and I could go to a marriage therapist, and they could be like, you know what, you guys need some Molly.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just need to just get Molly, get Vicks Vape rubbed up, just rub on each other, listen to some Miley Cyrus.
I'll just watch.
Yeah. The therapist watches?
They must be there if they're on drugs. They can't just be by themselves.
What?
They must have to like guide the treatment of some sort.
They just tell them to do it when they get home and get busy or something.
I feel like
because doesn't ecstasy and Molly make you like feel like sexy and stuff, right? Or no?
I think so. I think it does.
We need a real person who knows about Molly.
Not just one BBC.
And do you call it Molly now or just ecstasy? Or is it Molly or ecstasy or?
I think there's something different, but I don't know.
Because in our day, it was ecstasy.
Yeah, in our day.
I feel like our day is still going. But I feel like teenagers now would just call it Molly. Mm-hmm. Right? Because everyone was like, I'm rolling. I remember that was the thing.
I remember
like in
not
my early
what
20s.
Anyone was talking about rolling. And none of the drugs. I had no idea. All I knew was they all killed you.
Yeah. Yes, because you paid attention during DARE. They all kill you except for cigarettes and alcohol, which are totally legal and everyone should do them.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Basically what they were teaching us.
Okay. All right. You ready for the next
news
article? Okay. This one says, how many of these common genetic mutations do you possess? This is on I Fucking Love Science. So their stuff is more like attention grabby. So this might not be as informative.
Is it clickbait?
It's clickbaity. Okay. I bet. I haven't read it yet. So I'll just read the first paragraph and we can go through these. Humans are a diverse bunch. And with diversity comes a lot of genetic mutations. Marfan syndrome. That's a genetic mutation.
Woo-woo.
While many may hear the term mutation and automatically think of harmful diseases such as cancer.
Or the X-Men. Why don't they open their mind?
There are plenty of examples of common human mutations that are actually beneficial or at least not detrimental. Here are a handful of common mutations that you might well be harboring yourself or at least know someone else who has. Blue eyes.
What?
Do you have that?
Oh, is it hard for people to have blue eyes?
I guess so.
It has to be a mutation?
Even though 8% of the world's population has blue eyes. The mutation that gave rise to it is an incredibly recent one in the history of our species.
Mm.
I feel like all baby animals have blue eyes when they're first born.
Yeah, like I think you have until a certain point, and then it decides, yeah. Will I stay blue or will I go somewhere else?
Yeah, it says there was researchers have managed to pinpoint the mutation that led to blue eyes, while changes in a gene called OCA2 cause a change in the amount of pigment produced in the iris. Okay, so that's just a mutation. So. If you have blue eyes, you're a mutant.
Yep. Oh, lucky. Oh, I hope I have one of these.
Oh, my gosh. Here's one that maybe I have. I don't know if you do. Being lactose tolerance.
Oh, so you can have lactose?
Yeah, that's what I interpret it, but it might be wrong.
Are most people lactose intolerant then?
Yeah, this is one of the most satisfying examples of human evolution currently knocking about. While many of us in the West take drinking milk for granted, we stand pretty much alone in our ability to do so. Like all other mammals, most people around the world stop drinking milk when they reach adulthood as they lose the ability to digest it.
That makes so much sense. I hear that from a lot of people because we're told we need milk and we need dairy, we need all this, but we're the only species after that continues drinking milk after infancy.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I guess that. Well, yeah, I imagine animals stop. Where else are they going to get
exactly.
milk? That's not like a store.
They can't go to TJ's and pick up some 2%. But that's why I think I'm a little intolerant, so I like almond milk. I prefer that.
Gotcha. Because I'm pretty sure I'm super tolerant of, like, I don't.
I like ice cream.
Yeah.
But it will give me a tummy ache.
Okay. So, yeah, that's
a little lactose.
Yeah. Around 10,000 years ago, as Europeans started to domesticate animals like cows, a mutation in the MCM6 gene meant that some people kept producing the enzyme lactase, allowing them to drink milk. So if you can drink milk, that's a mutation.
So you're a mutant, Andy.
Yeah.
I want to be one.
Yeah. Not yet. No blue eyes and you can't drink
milk. Damn it. Green eyes and I get diarrhea.
Oh, and I guess that also other farming communities that domesticated cattle, such as one in India, separately evolved the ability to digest milk too. Mm. So it's people who live in India and people in the West, I guess.
Nice.
Next mutation. Do you have this one? Red hair?
No, but I did diet for many years when I watched My So-Called Life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's a pretty rare, but it's 4-5% of people have the mutation. It's funny, they say 4-5% of people have it as if it's like a disorder. 4-5 people
I suffer from red hair.
Red hair disorder, which is some makes the coloration all the more beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder when we decided that red hair was a bad thing. When people were like, oh, ginger's over. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
If I had a kid that had red hair, I'd be so excited. Mm-hmm. That's always been my dream. It won't happen because I don't have red hair and my husband is Mexican and I don't think those
don't
two things
happens.
Will go together.
Yeah, it's a genetic. Well, you know what? It is a genetic mutation, so maybe it happens randomly.
Maybe.
And then it becomes passed on.
Well, yeah, that would be awesome if me and Chell had a little redhead baby, none of us being redhead, and no one in our family having red hair. That'd be amazing.
That would. Let's just try. Yeah. Let's start experimenting.
Put it into the universe.
Yep. People in Northern Europe are more likely to have red hair. And while some people have argued that it evolved under positive selection as a response to shorter days and longer nights, others suggest that it was
What does that mean?
Like some people think it just kind of happened because people in the North spent a lot of time indoors, I guess, because it was cold.
What's positive selection? Just for the positive gene?
Yeah. Not dying out? I have no
idea. Okay. That seemed a little weirdly worded.
It is more common in people from Scotland and Wales, not due to any particular reason apart from genetic drift and the fact that these nations were probably quite isolated in the recent past.
Just like Prince Harry. He's a hot, foxy redhead, right? You always thought William was going to grow up to be the hot one. No.
That's really funny.
It was Harry. Harry pulled through at the last minute. You're like, damn, minute. Harry, where'd you come from? Like, he looks good.
Asian flush is another mutation.
Oh, I know what this one is, I think.
Yeah.
Is it when you get flushed when you drink alcohol?
I think so, yeah. And maybe, yep.
And it happens, does it happen to Japanese people or is it just Asian countries?
It just says Asian flush. Okay.
Because I have some friends that it happens to them.
Mm-hmm. Around 30%. Oh, here we go. 36% of Northeast Asians. So
okay,
maybe like
geography.
Yeah, geography. Korean, Chinese.
Sounds good.
Japanese. Have the genetic mutation that means that when they drink alcohol, their skin flushes a deep red.
I think it's Japanese because I think my friend Bob, I don't want to say his last name, but I think he has that.
Yeah.
And I think my friend Brian too.
Yeah. The facial flushing is not, as most people assume, because they are drunk, but rather as a part of an immune response. So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I wish I would have got that. Yeah. It would have saved me a lot on blush. What? No, that's not right.
All right. The next one is missing wisdom teeth. Some people have a genetic mutation where they don't have
wisdom teeth. Whoa, lucky.
That sounds awesome.
Yes. I still have an impacted one. I got the other three removed. This one, they're like, well, we don't know if it's going to do anything.
Late erupting wisdom teeth can cause man all sorts of problems. Man, they call humans man. Uh-huh. It's not just men. All sorts of problems. But some people, roughly 40% of Asians, 10 to 25% of Americans of European descent, and 11% of African Americans are lacking at least one third molar, as wisdom teeth are technically known.
Uh-huh.
Amazingly, it is thought that around 45% of Inuits are also in this select group.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I didn't even know people didn't have wisdom teeth.
No, I only had three instead of four.
What the hell do wisdom teeth do?
I think they're meant to come back later after your teeth have worn out to help you chew food.
Once is that the wisdom? Well, like, oh, they'll come back. Okay.
Yeah. You're old now.
Yeah. Eat some more teeth. These are your old people teeth.
Eat some meat, please. And yeah, that was the last one.
Oh my gosh. That was really interesting.
Yeah. That was cool. So maybe people have a genetic mutation and they just
so if you have any of those, you should join the X-Men. You should find.
Yeah. What's your power? I don't have extra teeth.
Yeah. What's your blue eyes? Oh my gosh. I'm so scared of old blue eye, no wisdom teeth, flush drinking redhead. Mm-hmm. Is that all of them? Oh, and then something about Molly.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yeah. I just think I have one more article, but my stupid, I saved it in my notes and it's not letting me click on the link because this next one is key to living longer. So I really want to.
Yeah. I think that if we leave people on like, well, we were going to give you the key to living longer, but Andy can't find the thing in her notes. So
sorry.
Oh, it was going to list all of them bullet points perfectly what to do.
I love
it. What to follow, what to eat. We just learned over our lunch that we ate today, which was we each had a chicken finger with some ketchup, and then we had some pineapple. And I told you that pineapple's good for digestion.
Yep.
Which I just recently learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that my big vitamin D deficiency, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, where I went to the doctor, got my blood work done. They called back. The doctor was like, hey, your vitamin D is real low. And I'm like, all right. I don't know. All I know is that's like sun. I don't know anything about vitamin D. Turns out they're worried because it's the lowest she's ever seen in her career. I guess low could be like 12 and mine's like 2. So they wanted me to go outside midday and expose my thighs to the sun.
Your thighs? Is that where we get the most?
I think it was thighs. I'm pretty sure it was some part of my leg. I think it was thighs. I know it was some part of my leg. And I'm thinking, those babies never see the sun and they don't plan to. I need a sun lamp or something. So I started taking the vitamin D supplements and I got the highest dosage. And then the more I was reading about vitamin D recently, because I keep forgetting to take the supplements. So now every day I put it on my desk. I need to take these supplements because this doctor in her career, she's been a doctor for probably 20 years, the lowest she's ever seen. This is scary.
That's
in Los Angeles.
That's scary.
I'm like a vampire. It's very frightening. And apparently vitamin D also is important. I was looking at digestion and stuff because it breaking down fat.
Oh.
So lack of vitamin D can also make it hard for your body to break down fat. And I'm like, so I'm thinking of all these reasons why I'm gaining weight. It's like, must be the vitamin D.
Well, being depressed too, you spend more time indoors. So you're getting less vitamin D, right?
Yeah. And I work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go out at night to shows and the sun's not out. So
I need to get outside. I need to get my vitamin D level.
Yeah. Well, you should get it checked.
I should.
Because I didn't even know that it was important.
Wow.
And apparently it is very important. I have to go back in and get it rechecked. But I have to remember to take the supplement every day.
Yeah. Well, maybe yours was so low because you live in LA and most people are in the sun a lot. Maybe if you got it checked in Minnesota, you'd be like, yeah.
They'd be like, oh, this is totally normal. A two? What do you got a pool? What do you got an indoor tanning bed?
Whoa.
You're fancy.
Yeah, I did take vitamin D in the form of like caramel candy. It was like vitamin D
caramel candy?
Yeah, I was like, I love taking my vitamins in the form of candy.
Oh, well, yeah. No. That sounds good. Well, nowadays, I mean, yeah. they have like the chewy mm-hmm. gummies. Yep. I mean, who would have thought they'd have gummy? I remember taking Flintstone vitamins when I was a kid.
Disgusting.
I loved them. Yes. Oh, I would I'd steal them and take more. My mom said one time I poured all of them out and I separated them by character. And I looked up at her. I was very young. And I said, Mom, there's not a Betty in the bunch. They didn't include Betty and I was pissed.
That is so mm-hmm. cute.
Not a Betty in the bunch. Maybe they do now. I don't know.
Not a Betty in the bunch.
But back then they did not.
Did you know on the cereal on Fruity Pebbles, they didn't, and that was like, they were trying to find women who were on cereal boxes because there just aren't. All the mascots on cereal boxes are men.
Wow, and I never thought of that.
And even on Fruity Pebbles, they didn't.
Fucking patriarchy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, I know. It was amazing. Fruity Pebbles, when I first came out, didn't show Pebbles, the little girl.
What?
She wasn't even on the box.
But it's Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles. No.
So they just showed Bam Bam? Or they, Fred and.
They had Fred on it, I think.
Well, probably Barney, too. He didn't
need to
be there.
Oh, no, it was Barney. I think it was Fred and Barney.
Barney didn't need to be there. He didn't even make Pebbles. He didn't have anything to do with her.
No, but it's Toucan Sam. It's. The Tony the Tiger.
Captain Crunch.
Oh. All these men are taking
Even the Honey Nut Cheerio. Yeah. I presume it's a male bee.
Yeah, identify as a male. I believe so.
Yeah.
Cookie Crisp.
Count Chocula.
Yes.
Countess see? Chocolate would be so easy.
Yes.
This is bullshit.
Isn't that interesting?
That's okay. This is bullshit. I can't. Is there one now?
I think there was maybe one that they. But what? No, there really aren't.
No.
Maybe they added.
Frosted Flakes, they're great.
They're sexist.
They're a part of the patriarchy.
All right. Enough.
Did you find that article?
Yes, I got it. Enough suspense. A large meta-analysis study reveals the key to living longer. And there's a woman celebrating her 90th birthday in the photo. And she
good
looks,
for her. What's her name? Good. Gertie?
Probably.
Cutie.
All right. So... they were able to quantify how certain genes and lifestyle choices contribute to months being added to or taken away Ooh. From your lifespan. I feel like this isn't going to be anything groundbreaking.
No, but, this is. Don't lead it. You're not selling it, Andy.
Okay. The researchers publishing in Nature Communications analyzed the genetic information of over 606,000 people.
Okay. So
this is a legit amount. It's not 19 people who took mushrooms. This is
and never followed up.
This is more than 500,000 people. Okay, they looked at specific genetic markers in the lifespans of the participants' parents. Since we all share our genetic ancestry with our parents, the team was able to pinpoint the impact of various genes on longevity. You think you're going to live long?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, what side do I look at?
Both sides, probably.
If I look at grandma's, no.
No.
Unfortunately, no. Grandpa's, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got half. The power of big data and genetics allows us to compare the effect of different behaviors and diseases in terms of months and years of life, lost or gained, and to distinguish between mere association and causal effect. They are really like amping up to this. This is where the lifestyle choices come in. The researchers had to take them into account to make sure they were independent of the genetic risks. But at the same time, they could compare people with similar risk factors to see, yeah, we get it. Come on, what's the secret?
Oh, get to the point already.
Okay, unsurprisingly.
So much buildup.
Oh, here we go. Here's the first big, first big secret. It's so
eat
good.
Well, it's, exercise.
Oh my gosh. Julie,
I'll write this damn article for you.
You hit it on the head.
Make friends, love, go outside.
Staying in shape positively correlated with living for a long time.
No shit.
Did you guys know that? Staying in shape?
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. This is disappointing. I'll keep reading.
No, it's worth it.
So is having high levels of good cholesterol.
Oh, really? I thought all that bad cholesterol was going to get me to 90.
Meanwhile, smoking, heart problems, diabetes.
I can't smoke and live long.
What? And being overweight all reduce your lifespan.
This is
shit, Sherlock.
So crazy.
This better get better. Every unit over the normal this one's kind of more data driven. Okay. Every unit over the normal BMI, which was that again? Body mass index. Is equivalent to 7 fewer months of life.
What? Okay, wait. Say that again, because I think I know my BMI, and I'm
every unit. Over the normal BMI value is equivalent to 7 fewer months of life. So if your BMI is like 20, I think, 21, something like that.
20, isn't 20 like real low?
Maybe it is low. Maybe 25's
right. For a woman, I think ours are higher. It's,
okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, because there's more fat body. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're just getting them babies ready. Because we're fat. Ready, yeah, we're just fat.
So if you're over, it's 7 months fewer of life for every
That's not too bad. That's if you think about it. Because if you're not that, even if you are.
7 months.
Months. I mean, you're talking, you know, maybe 5 years.
Yeah, that's not that bad. That's a lot. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, 5 years, whatever. Yeah.
You know what my mom and people will always say? They'll go, yeah, but are those years you really want to be there?
Yeah, it's the good years. No, okay. However, it's not all doom and gloom. Smokers who quit can reach over time the same lifespan as non-smokers.
I've heard that. The lungs are amazing because I quit smoking about 6 years ago.
Great.
And I read so many articles that said after 5 years, your lungs can repair themselves to that of someone who has never smoked.
Wow.
Or similar. And then within 10 years, that of someone who's never smoked.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So our study
quit smoking.
Yeah, just quit smoking. Yeah, everyone, seriously, because people think like, well, it's too late. I've already.
It's never too late. No. Your body is amazing. It wants to regenerate and X-Men and do all this cool stuff and be lactose tolerant.
We're all superheroes.
Yeah.
Our study has estimated the causal effect of lifestyle choices. We found that on average, smoking a pack a day reduces lifespan by 7 years.
Yeah.
Whilst losing 1 kilogram or 2.2 pounds of weight will increase your lifespan by 2 months.
That's
so
shitty.
That's so
just
funny.
Just 2 months?
Every 2 pounds
that's not
going to
get me on the treadmill.
You gain 2 months of life.
That's, no. Come on, that's, no.
Every 2 pounds you lose, you gain 10 years.
Yeah, I'd be like, woo.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Okay, the researchers also highlighted how being open to new experience is good for you and that every year you spend in higher education adds 11 months to your life.
Who's funding the study,
yeah,
though?
Yeah.
Because this is probably the university of something
university.
That wants us to
go
pay
to school,
in the high.
Longer. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Be in more debt. Pay them back.
Oh, yeah. The debt's great for your lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, let me tell you. Take time off. Figure out what you want to do with your life. Don't spend it all in school. Unless someone's paying for it.
Well, it's also like people who go and get higher educations are more likely to have more money, better access to treatment.
Yeah, it's all privilege.
Yeah, so that, a lot of these are more.
Check your privilege article.
Check your privilege. I fucking love science. I fucking love making random claims. Mm-hmm. but I, you know, they're just showing us information.
Yeah, totally. They're just giving us stuff we know and then being super white and privilegey about
and
it.
And it's weird that it's like going, every year you spend in higher education adds 11 months to your life. So, okay, I did go 4 years of college.
Me too.
So that adds about 4 years.
I did 1 year of grad school.
Ooh. So you got 5 years.
Holy shit.
About 4.5. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
Lucky me. And maybe then my debt will be paid off by that time.
Yeah. Oh, and then they do go on to say, while it's good to hear, it's important to remember that education, especially higher education, is not accessible to everyone. And this correlation might be deeply linked to the inherent inequalities of our society. Yeah.
Thank you.
No shit article.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The team has also identified a gene linked to blood cholesterol level that can reduce your lifespan by 8 months. This is all like random amounts, but I guess over maybe for some people it's more and some it's less, but that's like the average must be. One linked to a gene linked to the immune system that can add about 6 months. So there are some genes that if people have them are more likely to live longer. And this data came from 25 separate studies from Europe, Australia, and North America.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there we go.
There we go. There's how you live longer. Be lucky enough to be born with these certain genes.
Yes.
Be lucky enough to be born in a family and in a socioeconomic bracket where you can go to school for the rest of your life.
Yeah, be lucky.
Don't smoke, which again is another kind of privilege thing where you're educated to know that that's bad for you. And, you know, because they only market to certain, you know, they market to more working class people. I started smoking because I knew that my parents smoked when they were younger. You know, and, you know, eat healthy foods, which again, if you can afford
it's harder to eat healthy.
Yeah. Well, McDonald's is giving you dollar burgers, but yeah, go get that kale, bro.
McDonald's, you get a toy.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going there. In a cute little box.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay. So those are the studies that we did.
I like that. That was fun.
This was so fun.
I want to do that all the time.
So we're going to do this as often as we can, hopefully more than once a month. But right now, once a month, we'll have these bonus episodes where we go into just different news studies, and we read them. So you don't have to read. We'll read them to you.
Andy knows how to read, which is good. I know how to react, which is great.
Yep. And then here's some more that might be coming up. Another article. There's higher IQs amongst people with mental illness. We're going to dive into that.
Totally. That's true.
And also, they've identified a key gene linked to peanut allergies. So we'll talk about that in a future one of these. And just anything kind of going on in the news, we're going to dive into it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make it funny.
Yeah. And maybe there's some stories you'd like us to talk about. And if you're part of our cool Patreon group, you can
share links. Share it, absolutely.
And then we can talk about it. And then we can talk about how you are so cool and send it to us.
Yeah. We love you guys. So go to dealwithitshow.com/. Well, we don't have a link on our actual website for our Patreon, but maybe we'll add one. Go to dealwithitshow.com.
But I like how you did a pop at the end. So if you could spell that out, what Andy did.
Go to dealwithitshow.com/Patreon or go to patreon.com/dealwithitshow.
Is that the one they should
That's
go to?
That's the one they should. I'm so sorry.
So the other times, don't go to that. Go to, say it again. So you go to
Patreon, which is Patreon, patreon.com/dealwithitshow.
And become a member of our Deal With It Club.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have great perks. We're figuring it out. We love you guys. Mm-hmm. And we love the support we've gotten and the great comments and the messages. And it's been so much fun. And we love you guys.
Yep. And everyone go get yourself some ecstasy and or Molly, some shrooms.
Some mushrooms.
Get to that therapist and just do them all in front of her.
Yeah. Just take care of yourselves.
And have fun.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was another great episode of the Deal With It podcast. Thanks. We're gonna do the ending credits now. Jolene Lunger, take it away.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Deal With It podcast. Please hit us up on all our social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and hit us up on our website, dealwithitpodcast.com.
And now you can even support us on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/dealwithitpodcast.
We would love to have you as a supporter. Thanks for listening.
Love you.
Take care, everybody.